Father, we just pray right now. Lord, as we just briefly just turn to your word, we just pray, Father, that you'll speak to our hearts. Pray you give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us today. Pray, Lord, that this word, Lord, will resonate with people where they're at and produce fruit to your honor and glory. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to just repeat a couple of scriptures from a couple of weeks ago because I introduced this theme, didn't I? That God is, it's a great theme, and we're going to run with this theme through the spring months, and then as we get to Christmas, we'll move on to another theme, but this is just a great theme. And so just a couple of scriptures, I reminded you that a couple of weeks ago that the Bible tells us that God is able, and he's able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I'll read what you've got on your screens. Now, all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I've also got 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. And it says, God is, can we say that again? And God is
able
to bless you in a little bit. No, abundantly, come on. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. Amen. And there are other such scriptures that show us that God is able and God is willing to break into your life and help you whoever you are. God cares for you. That's not a cliche. It's a spiritual truth. God cares for you. And he's able to restore you back to wholeness. You might be in real life church today as a broken person, but you don't have to live the rest of your life broken, for God is able to restore you to wholeness. And so this theme, God is able, really it's a message of hope. Those three words are a message of hope for everyone in this room and for our community. Just a couple of comments, and I just want to really jump into what the Lord has laid on my heart. But it's really important that we understand that God's blessings and God's favor for you is much, much, much better than winning lotto. You know, a lot of people want to win lotto. Or, you know, who's noticed all those adverts on TV about gambling these days? Just seems just to be overflowing with gambling adverts. Everybody wants to win money. But you see, money cannot buy you peace of mind. Money cannot wash away your fear. Money cannot heal a broken heart. Money cannot give you a fulfilled life. Money cannot buy you a place in heaven when you die. Money is important, but it is very limited in what it can do for you. I think we all know that. What we need is a savior. Every one of us needs Jesus Christ. Every one of us needs Almighty God. We really do. Because God is able to do what you cannot do for yourself. Amen. Praise God. So true. Now this is what I want to say to you. We all know that with God, all things are possible. We all know that. We've read about that in the Bible. Is that right? And nothing is too difficult for the Lord. God made the entire universe and he's putting the finishing touches to heaven right now. God is big. How big is God, everybody? Just big, yeah, right. It's just big. And God is able. Everybody clear with that? All things are possible. God is big. God is able. He could do anything. He made the universe. He's, you know, fixing up heaven for us right now. Nonetheless, there is one thing that God cannot do for you. There's one thing that God cannot do for you. There is one thing. Can we say one thing? Because I don't want you to forget this. There's one thing that God has chosen never to do in your life. Just one thing that God's chosen not to do for you. We know God's able. We know God could do anything. But he's actually imposed one specific boundary. It's like a fence around himself concerning you and concerning me. And God will never ever cross that boundary or fence until the day that Jesus Christ comes back again. Then he will cross that boundary. What is that one thing that God cannot do? just listen very carefully, and I want to flesh this out today, is God will never, ever cut across the choices that you choose to make about your life. I'll say it again. God will never, ever cut across the choices that you choose to make about your life. God is able to bless you, but he will not mess with any of your choices. For example, if you choose to hang out with the wrong kind of people, then God's not going to stop you from hanging out with them. If you choose to do drugs, then God is not going to stop you doing drugs. If you choose to cheat on your wife, then God is not going to stop you cheating on your wife. Conversely, if you choose to be generous to others, then God's not going to stop you being generous. If you choose to show respect to the elderly, then God is not going to stop you showing respect to the elderly. If you choose to hang out with the right kind of people, then God is not going to stop you hanging out with the right kind of people. God does not cut across any of our choices, whether they're good or whether they're bad. We're going to go somewhere with this, all right? Some of you now, right, you're processing, aren't you? Oh, really? Yeah, really, really. But what God has done is set up a principle for life concerning our choices. And you operate under this principle and you might not even know. Like right now, I'm operating under the principle of gravity. Not even really aware of it because I'm so used to living with it. But there's still a principle that affects my life. I'm going to demonstrate you. I'm going to jump. Here we go. So you can see how much it affects my life. But one day, God's going to cut across that principle. And we're going to then, I'm going to jump maybe one day and keep going to glory. Because that principle will no longer be effective because it's going to be the rapture when Jesus Christ comes back again. But God set up a principle for life concerning our choices. And we read about the principle in the Bible. And the principles, the Bible principle says this, what you sow is what you reap. So God does not cut across your choices, but your choices will bear either good fruit or bad fruit. Your choices will either build you up or your own choices will pull you down. Everybody still with me? Just going to go just a little bit deep, so just a little, and then we'll come back out. I just need you to think about this next bit. When God created mankind, he created us all with the power. You have this power and the intelligence to make choices. Your innate ability, your ability that you were born with, to make choices is a gift from God to you, for you to use in any way that you wish. And you have been using it in any way that you wish. And not only are we capable of making life-defining choices, but our choices are our part in the creative process of our lives. What do I mean when I say creative process? What on earth is the creative process in our lives? Let's explain it. When God made you in the womb, he created you with your unique DNA. There's only one of you. And we're all really grateful for that. Amen. Hey, we're all unique. He made you with your unique abilities, your unique personality, your soul, your spirit. God wired you up for greatness. And you were absolutely complete when you were born. I want everybody to understand that. And the Bible says that you were wonderfully made. Wow. Yet there is a sense in which you are still developing and unfolding as a human being even today. God made you complete, but you're still developing as a human being today. You are growing. You are maturing as you move through the different stages of life. You are kind of still being created since you were created. Everybody get what I'm saying? Journey of life, you're still trying to be created, but you have been created. We're all a little bit like a rosebud. A rosebud is small, yet it contains all that is necessary for it to become a beautiful rose. But the rosebud has to grow and unfold to full bloom for all to see its beauty and to enjoy its fragrance. your lifelong journey that you're on, and some of us have been on it for many years now, of growing and developing is your creative process, that creating of yourself. And your choices that you are making are your part in your own creative process. Everybody still with me? I can hear music. Hear a little bit of heaven, amen? Whenever you hear somebody else's mobile phone go off, that's a good time just to check your own, amen? Here's something else. A lot of people think that everything that happens to them is the will of God. I'll say it again. A lot of people, a lot of even Christian people, because I hear the way they speak, you know, they think that everything that happens to them is the will of God. The will of God is whatever happens. I am what I am because God made me that way. I've heard that lots of times. But that is not entirely true. Because we've been invited by our Creator to participate in the creative process of our lives. In other words, it's not all up to God. We have our role to play in how our lives unfold through the choices that we make. The choices that you are making today, including things like the people that you choose to hang out with, the habits that you choose to tolerate in your life, the way you choose to react to other people, and the way you choose to respond to God and to His Word. Such choices and many more will largely play a role in determining the kind of person you're going to be a decade from now. And if you turn out to be a lousy person, don't blame God. It just means you made some lousy choices today. It means you chose some lousy people to hang out with. So the outcomes of your life are not all up to God. You have your part to play through your choices. So your choices are very important and your choices are powerful. Amen? Whenever you hear a great musician, actually, Michael's bringing his testimony in the second service, his testimony about the camp in the second service today. But whenever you hear a great musician play an instrument, you know, come on, you know that they didn't just start out as a great musician. They may have been born with a natural inclination for music, but really they chose their way into this place of skill and mastery and greatness. It wasn't luck. Who likes André Rieu? I love that guy in his concerts. You know, those guys are so professional. And you think, oh, they make so much sweet music. They weren't born like it. It wasn't luck. But they chose to spend time getting lessons. And they chose to spend time developing and honing their skills. And through their choices, they became a great musician. And we enjoy their greatness. That's how it is for everything in our lives, including our walk with God. You know how you get close to God? You choose to get close to God. Draw near to Him and then He will draw near to you. Your choices can lead you to greatness. That's all that's holding you back, the choices that we make. When you see a married couple, I knew you'd all do that. Actually, I just want to pause. I want to talk about this couple for a moment, use them as an example. They haven't been well. You know that flu that's been going around? We've had a number of our people in our church being hit with that. Can we, you know, this week, let's pray good health over Real Life Church. And so they're going to bounce back, but they're not doing too well today. God bless them. But when you see a married couple like Ken and Trish, that has been together for years, and they have, and you know, you see them that they're happy with each other, and they actually are really in love. And we all know that there's no perfect relationships. We know that because we're not perfect. But you look at that older couple like Ken and Trish now on your screens and you know that they genuinely love each other. But you know, we need to realize that they did not get to that place in their marriage through luck. They got to that place after all those years because they made choices to honor one another and to consider one another. They made a choice to be committed to each other when it wasn't easy to be committed. And they made choices to work hard on their relationship. You know, some people say that great marriages are made in heaven. Oh, you've got such a nice marriage that's made in heaven. What a load of rubbish. It's not true. That's a myth. Great marriages are not made in heaven, but they're made right here on earth through the choices that we make. Somebody listen to me. A lot of times we can be guilty of thinking that it's up to God to make our marriages great if it's His will. But really, it's our choices to love, honor, and to devote ourselves to one another, just like the Bible teaches us to do, and to care more about the other person than we do even ourselves. It's that stuff, those choices, that builds us in our marriage and leads us into the place of a great marriage. So how it is for everything in our lives, including our walk with God, the choices that that you make, your choices can lead you to greatness. Amen. So our God-given ability to make choices is our part in the creative process of our life. Everybody good with all of that? If you're not, talk to Rochelle afterwards. Amen. We've all heard of Moses, I think, from TV or from the Bible at the very least. Remember Moses and the Prince of Egypt, you know. The famous man, he rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt. But this guy knew about choices, the power of choices. Moses was 120 years old when he gave to Israel his last piece of advice just before he died. And Moses, like a lot of us, he knew that God loved his people. He knew that God loved the Israelites. He knew that God was able to fulfill his good promises to Israel. He knew that God cared for them. He knew God had good plans for them. In fact, God always has good plans for his people. Amen. And even today, God has good plans for your life and in the life to come. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. A lot of us are familiar with this verse, but it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Wow. They are plans for bad and not. No, what does it say? They are plans for. Absolutely, they're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." God's got good plans for your life, amen? Can we just say thank you, Jesus, for the good plans? Come on, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the good plans that you've got for my life. Praise the Lord. So God is thinking of you all the time. And way back then when Moses was talking to Israel, Moses spoke to the leaders of Israel about God's good plans for them, like I do to you from time to time. But this is what Moses said to them concerning the plans of God. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, he says, "Now listen, you lot. Today, I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster." Then he said, I've condensed it down a bit. He said, "For I command you today to love the Lord your God." That's a good commandment. "Keep his commands by walking his ways, but if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, then I warn you now that you will be destroyed." Then he finally said, "Today, I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you're going to make. Oh, that you would choose life. Oh, that you would choose life. Oh, that you would choose life." Can we say it together? Come on. Oh, that you would choose life. One more time. Father, I just pray that'll be in everybody's brains this week, wherever they go, in Jesus' name. When they're driving down the road and they're thinking of speeding, Lord, oh, that you would choose life. Father, as they're thinking of texting on their phone this week, oh, that you would choose life. So that you and your descendants might live. Moses was urging the Israelites to make the right choice, and the Holy Spirit's urging us today to do the same thing. Our choices are our part in the creative process of our lives. Now, there are some choices that we make that have the favor of God upon them. It's in the environment of good choices that God is able to bless you and favor you. But there are some choices that we make that are just simply plain stupid and dumb. Anybody made any of those? Who's sitting next to somebody who's made a lot of those? And stupid and dumb choices block. And this is where you've got to get. Stupid and dumb choices block the goodness of God upon our lives so that we don't fully experience the wonder of God's blessing. And I don't mean to be harsh with what I'm saying. It'll swing in a moment, this message. But, you know, this is the truth. Wherever you are today, you've not ended up where you are by chance. You are where you are in your life by choice. You are who you are today by choice. And that does not mean that you can control everything that's happening around you. You can't control everything that happens to you. Of course you can't. People could take advantage of you. Trouble can come your way. Life is tough. And sometimes we get hurt and sometimes we hurt others. But what I am saying is that every time something happens to you or around you, good or bad, you still have a choice of how you're going to respond to what has happened in your life. You always have the choice to become bitter or better. Bitter or better. So we do not end up where we are by chance. We end up where we are by choice. And we do not end up being who we are because of other people, but rather we are who we are because of the series of choices that we've been making throughout the ups and downs of life. You do not end up in God's blessings by chance. Oh, the blessings of God. No, you end up in God's blessings by choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. So choose. See, if you want a better life, then always remember better choices lead to a better life. I'll say it again. Better choices lead to a... Now, I reckon, looking over all of you this morning, that there's a lot of people here who have made some really, really good choices. The very fact that you chose to come to church today, it's middle school holidays, but you still came. That's a very good choice. And, you know, you might not make many other good choices today, but at least you can say, I made one good choice, I came to church. I just want to say, well done. You know, really, I do, particularly in this day and age. You know, well done for coming to church, and so you should. It's a good choice. And many of our young people made a good choice to go to the youth camp. That was a great choice. Some of our young people made a decision to repent of their sins and receive Jesus as Savior. That is a great choice. Also know that there, because I hear your stories, that there's many people here who have had tough times. You know, some of you have got the scars to show, to prove it. Some of you have had heartbreaking losses. But I've observed you at the same time, in spite of your tough times and your losses, I've seen you choosing to become better instead of bitter. Amen. I've seen you doing it. Amen. And I know it hasn't been easy, but you've been making that choice. You made the right choice to draw closer to God instead of forsaking Him when things didn't work out for you. Great choices. The others of you have chosen to forgive people who have hurt you. It's been really tough, really hard sometimes to forgive people because you really want to smack them one in the head, don't you? Your emotions say, hit them. But some people really hurt you deep, you know? And it's been tough, but you've made the right choice to forgive. And I think we need to understand that it takes courage to make the right decision. It's not all warm and fuzzy. Oh, I've made the right decision. Oh, now I feel warm and fuzzy. No, sometimes you can make the right decision. It's still tough. But we're planting seeds and we're going to reap a harvest if we do not give up. The average person approximately makes 35,000 choices per day. Who said that? No wonder I'm tired. That might have something to do with it. Many of your choices, of course, are mundane and they happen at the subconscious level. But a lot of those choices, out of those 35,000 choices, they're actually shaping who we are and who we're going to be. And it's fair to say that every one of us here has made some bad choices from time to time. If you know, just ask Rochelle how many she's made. That was really rude. Who thinks I'm rude to my wife and need to leave her alone? Yeah. It's really not working for me. But every one of us has made some bad choices from time to time. I was recently listening to the story of Ryan Lochte, and that's how you pronounce his surname, apparently, Ryan Lochte. Anybody know who this guy is? One or two of you might. As soon as I tell you about him, you'll know straight away. He was a decorated American swimmer who lied about his holdup in the Rio Olympics. He's actually not a bad guy. He's a really nice guy, actually. And Ryan Lochte won gold at Rio, and he's actually one of the best ever American swimmers, second only to Michael Phelps, who's one of his best friends. He's his best friend. But Ryan Lochte, he made several bad decisions at the Rio Olympics. I'm talking about bad decisions right now. He got drunk, and he lied about being robbed in a holdup. And then, you know, this young guy who had a great reputation, he just totally embarrassed himself in front of the whole world. And now he's been suspended from competitive swimming, I think, for a minimum of 12 months. In addition, the media have hounded him. They've been really cruel to this young man. And he's lost significant sponsors. His choices at the Olympics have pretty well just about destroyed his reputation. However, his good friend Michael Phelps spoke to Ryan Lochte after the events, talked through with him what had happened. A lot of people have forgotten that Michael Phelps, the great Michael Phelps, and what a great swimmer he is. I know he's American, but I just love the way the guy swims. You know, I was cheering for him anyway, you know. A lot of people forget that Michael Phelps also was suspended in 2014 for driving under the influence of alcohol. Phelps had made a poor choice, and he also embarrassed himself by getting drunk and then driving a car while being drunk. Just a tangent, I just want to go off on this, and I'm going to round this sermon off in a moment, is getting drunk or taking drugs is always, 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 always a bad decision. It's never a good decision. Never. Only bad things come from getting drunk and taking drugs. It's just a bad decision. Hanging out with friends who always keep getting drunk and doing drugs is also a very bad decision. The Bible wisely tells us not to get drunk because nothing good ever comes from getting drunk. Anyway, just coming back, that was just want to make a comment about that. Fortunately, Michael Phelps came back into the public arena a better person because he learned his lesson from his bad choices. And so Michael Phelps gave some timely advice to Ryan Lochte. And Phelps told Ryan Lochte that his future now depended on the new choices. So you can make some new choices. His future depended now on the new choices that he was going to make in response to his punishment and shame. Was he going to learn and change his ways and make better choices? Or was he going to continue being an idiot and making bad choices? Michael Phelps, I think, gave Lochte some good advice. And may God bless that precious young man, amen, and his choices. We all make bad choices from time to time. Sometimes we embarrass ourselves or we even hurt other people. And we need to understand that you cannot pray yourself out of what you choose your way into. I'll say it again. You might want to write this down. You cannot pray yourself out of what you choose your way into. If you're hanging out with the wrong people who are influencing you to do bad things, then you're wasting your time asking God to help you resist the influence of your bad friends. What is required is a decision. You made a choice to have those kinds of friends. What do you think's going to happen? That kind of bad choice of friends requires you to make a wise choice and stop hanging out with those idiots any longer. You cannot pray yourself out of something that you choose your way into. You have to make some choices to get out of that. Choose life. Choose life. Better choices lead to a better life. Choose life. If we would all improve the ratio of good choices to bad choices over your average day, then we would all see an improvement in our personal creative process. Am I right or am I right? Amen. Now, I'm nearly finished. I'm choosing to finish, amen. But the Bible is packed with instructions for living. And the New Testament is highly practical. It even tells us things like, don't go to bed while you're still angry. What great advice! Who's ever gone to bed angry? Now you know why that bit of advice is in the Bible, amen? So if we could only choose to follow God's instructions as best as we can, then we will align ourselves with God's love, God's grace, God's favor, God's power, and God's mercy. And when we do that, watch out, because Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 will become your experience. God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. God is able. What he's able to do? He's able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Better choices lead to a better life where God is able. In conclusion, the most powerful choice and the most liberating choice that any person can make is a choice to repent of their sins. It's a choice. It's a choice. Because the truth is, when we're not right with God, we have all sorts of wrong choices going on in our lives. So many, it's almost impossible to reverse a whole lot of them. But repentance is such a powerful choice that it can obliterate the spiritual effects of all your wrong choices that you've made. Repentance is where you firstly choose before God to be sorry for living your own way without Jesus Christ. Secondly, repentance is about you choosing to live for Jesus Christ and to ask for forgiveness from God for the sins that you've committed. Your choices are your part in your creative process. Better choices lead to a better life. And the best choice of all is repentance. Choose life. Amen. Amen. That's all I got to say. Let's pray, shall we? What choices do you need to repent of? You know, what bad choices? What things are you holding on to? In your life? What choices do you need to make today? What choices do you need to repent of? With every head bowed, every eye closed. Service is going to be finished in about 3 minutes. Then we're going to have some tea and coffee and some good fellowship. But today, I was just wondering if there's somebody, several people today, and you've been living a life without Jesus Christ. Really, you've been doing your own thing. Everybody else is doing their own thing, and you're doing your own thing too. But today, God is knocking on the door of your heart, and He's wanting you to choose life. He's saying to you that He loves you, He cares for you, He's got good plans for you, but He can't bring His plans into your life until you repent. Make the choice to repent and say, God, I'm sorry for living without Jesus. God, I'm sorry for my sins. Today, I choose you. I give my life to you. I make a different choice. I turn to you. Please forgive me. I choose life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, that's to you today. If that's a desire of your heart today, and these closing moments of this service, my eyes are open. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. Why don't you just give me a wave? Wherever you're sitting, at the back, the front, left or right, give me a wave today if you're saying, yeah, that's me. I'm going to choose repentance today. And I just want to say a prayer for you at the conclusion of this service. Just put your hand right up in Jesus' name if that's you. I'm just looking over this congregation. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Great choice. Great decision. Great decision. Anybody else? I want to pray right now. And everybody else, you're going to pray with me from your hearts. Father, we just pray for this person who's just made the greatest choice a human being could ever make. And Lord, that is to choose God, to choose Christ, to choose repentance. And Lord, we pray for this person right now. And we pray about all their bad choices. Lord, you'll come into their life and you'll wash them clean. We pray, dear God, you'll obliterate, Lord, as they're turning to you today, that you'll obliterate the effects of those bad choices. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that this person will be born again. Pray, Lord, they'll live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' precious name. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just trust that God has spoken to you today. And Father, I just pray over this congregation, just before we sing our concluding song, pray all of us, even those who are mature Christians amongst us, all of us together. Lord, help us to take time this week just to review what's going on in our lives. What choices are we holding on to that's really not doing us any good at all? Lord, we just pray, dear God, that you give us wisdom, Lord, to tweak here and tweak there, to make choices, Lord, that honor you and allows your kingdom to come and your will to be done in our lives. Help us to be a church that chooses life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and everybody said,